Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach, with me, Daniel Caprio.
Good evening.
Of the Hot Sauce Mike.
Sauce Mike. Hashtag Sauce Mike.
So at George Street Co-op every Sunday, and you alternate.
Every first and third Sunday.
Okay.
And if there's a fifth, I take that too.
So is Reggie's the other guy?
Reggie Parker, yeah.
His
is called New Brunswick. His is the second and the fourth.
Okay, so you're the new sauce and his is... Okay. But you alternate every other Sunday.
Yes.
It's a very permissive mic. It's just comics go in. And it does get crazy. I mean, it's very, interactive. We're always talking shit on each other the whole time.
Yeah, my father was brought up yesterday. In a, not a nice way. Not even a joke way.
Yeah. Just like he's dead and he's a garbage piece of shit?
No, well, the...
Is he dead?
Passing away part, yes.
Yeah, that got brought up a few times.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
Had to address... Didn't expect to address that so close to the anniversary of his...
Yeah, it's like no whole bar.
No.
I mean, it's just...
I do make that announcement in the beginning. It's like, yeah. Everybody knows, now everybody doesn't know the line, apparently, but I say, you guys, you know when you're stepping over the line personally.
Yeah.
And I say, take accountability for whatever happens after you cross that line. Don't blame, I've seen hosts get blamed. I've seen buildings get blamed. I've seen people who didn't even perform get blamed.
The building got blamed?
Yes. I've seen people refuse to go somewhere because it's like, oh, well, this place, fosters a,
negative hate.
This negative vibe of, I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, some places are more, I don't want to use the word dangerous, but some places, I mean, where we are right now, we're at the Brighton Bar. Yeah, some things are going to be, I don't want to say blue, but it's you're going to hear some stuff tonight.
Yeah.
In all kinds of, different scenarios. Other mics you go to, they're not quite safe spaces, but you won't really hear stuff about, for example, people's dads passing away.
Right.
With no punchline.
Super negative connotation.
I mean...
Hey, I'm trying to hurt your feelings now, and fuck you. It's like... Has there been fights broken out ever? Any fist fights or any,
I mean, in that room, at the co-op, I haven't seen any really altercation. Outside, on the street, seen a couple close calls. Yes. Yeah. And the one I do at my... in Hamilton, the Laughing Hill Hotel... There's been almost multiple fights there.
Yeah. Speaking of safe space, it was one of the weirdest things. I think we talked about this. That's where we started becoming friendly, is at Chamber 43.
Yes.
And I did this joke. I have this joke about child sex doll,
Oh, yeah.
So I'm doing this joke, and then the host of the show starts going, oh, it's a safe space. This is a safe space. But she didn't, cut the mic or anything,
no.
And I was like...
It's not advertised as that either.
And I was like, I didn't even know what that meant. Right. And then, I got lit as normal, and then I went off. And then, but I'd been going there, religiously every single Monday that they had it.
Mm.
And a lot of people seemed to know me there. I seemed to get laughs sometimes. And everything was fine. And then I tried to get, a feature spot there. And they say, the host is like, I said this was a safe space. And I was like, well, what, it was safe for who? And they're like, yeah, we don't like your material. I don't know how she put it, but it was like, so what about a safe space for me to explore my truth? What about that safe space? Safe space to me means it's safe for you to talk about your dark feelings. But in this PC fucking doubled speak jujitsu, now it's safe so that you can't say what you want.
Right.
And it's like, oh, safe for what? Like, if you're in a therapy session and you're like, this is what happened, I got molested by my dog. Oh, this is a safe space. Don't bring that up.
Yeah, can you imagine if the therapist said that?
Yeah, don't bring that up.
Whoa.
This is a safe space. It's like, whose feelings are we? What are we doing here? It's like, to me, and that's why I like your place, because I do feel like, things got real rough last night.
Yeah.
But,
you gotta handle it.
It was all kind of fun.
Yeah.
And
no one is banned. No one is, I didn't even take, I think I kind of technically took some time away, but he did a full set. I won't really name the individual, but, he was worried that I was gonna come up and punch him in the face. But I didn't, because that would violate my own rules that
right,
I set.
Right.
I'm like, I would have to ban myself from my own mic in
right.
that
case. So maybe you just shave 30 seconds off, and you're like, all right. I'm going to give you the light when I want to give you the light.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Bring my dead dad's ghost
and
up in this.
And we did a back and forth with each other, so he was still doing material.
Right.
Like, in a way, I extended his set by at least 5 more minutes.
What do you think about a lot of guys are doing... last night, everyone's like, oh, no material November. Yeah. No material November. What do you think about this?
I like the idea of being on the fly and making stuff up. Can you stretch out that for an entire month, though, is what I'm saying. Now, I write every day. So the antithesis of that is new material November. It's like you do something new every day.
But to me,
I've been doing that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of no change up.
I mean, my point of it is like, oh, I still want the attention, but I'm not going to do any work. No material November. Yeah. No material November. It's like, no, that's just an excuse to be lazy. Like, write jokes. Tell jokes. Don't waste everybody's fucking time.
There is a lot of floundering. I say, yeah, that's the thing that gets on my nerves when somebody, you know, like they'll drive an hour out of their way.
Right.
They'll sign up. They might get bumped up in the rotation. And then they're like, well, they get on stage and then they're like, oh, you know, guys, I really didn't have anything playing for tonight. And then they just bullshit the entire time.
Oh my God.
With no material.
Yeah.
June.
Yeah.
Like, it's like everywhere you see this person, it's the same spiel. And it's like, come on, man. Why are you, like...
It's like why dinosaurs. Are you coming out? Dinosaurs were hit on the head by an asteroid. They were buried under a glacier. They fermented until ExxonMobil comes in. They drill that gasoline. Boom, it goes in their car. They use those the fermented dinosaur bones to drive a fucking hour there to waste the dinosaur's life. Everybody's time is wasted.
Mm-hmm.
No material November. You didn't have jokes in October, cocksucker. How is this any fucking different? I hate it. I am against no material November.
Well, it's gonna you're gonna hear it tonight.
How about work hard ever? How about that rule? You know what I mean? Comics are such fucking pieces of garbage. That's a big thing, is like, do you want, there's two different kinds of comics. Are you up there to entertain or are you up there for attention?
Mm-hmm.
And those are opposite things. Are you a narcissist where you just need the adulation? Or are you trying to serve a fine meal? Are you working hard on your material and trying to create laughter and joy? Two completely opposite things. And for me, I don't know. Speaking of that, my dad's such a fucking narcissist. It's outrageous. And I read this book called Emotional Manipulators by Ross Rosenberg. And forever it changed my brain, where it's like, there's narcissists out there and then there's codependent. A narcissist only gets dopamine released in their brain when something happens good for them. When they get money or they get a job promotion, that's when they feel good about themselves. If they give anybody anything, it doesn't register. It's like they have like an empathy block, you know? Codependents, when they do something good, like, you know, for other people, you serve someone a nice meal or you do, you know what I mean? You take a girl out, you take care of her, blah, blah, blah. You know, you pay all the rent, and then you feel great because you're giving somebody else a good time. And like, my ability to have patience for any level of narcissism now, maybe you noticed a little bit of this last night, is like zero. Where it's like, now I can't deal with it anymore, you know?
And in both those cases, it's need, but it's taken way too much in the opposite directions. It's like, I need this as the narcissist, and then I need this as the codependent. And neither one is respectable. There's no balance, you know? It's like one is lack of strength, and the other is thinking you have way too much strength.
That's interesting. Yeah, so like, I've spent most of my life, when I'm in a relationship, I'm like such a fucking codependent.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, what do you need? What do you mean? Put my jacket.
But then people can just walk
along. Yeah, and that's what happens.
Yeah.
And then like my last 3 girlfriends all cheat on me, and then I'm like, what's going on here? Is it me? And then blah, blah. I read this book, and I'm like, oh, my parents are narcissists. They're endless black holes of attention. So that's how I know how to be in a relationship. Then a girl comes in. I'm like, here, 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 here. And she's like, go, go, go. I'm going to go suck these other dicks. And I'm like, what? How is this possible?
Yeah, it might seem nice to her in the very beginning. Maybe she's just, like, not used to that. She's like, oh, wow, this is different. And then...
Right. I'm used to dating pieces of shit.
Yeah, but then, you know, she's like, well, I'm going to take advantage of this.
Exactly. It's not like, oh, this guy's better than my other... Yeah, boyfriends.
It's like, oh, I'll take comfort in this familiarity. It's like, oh, I'm bored of this.
What's up, Brian Bohr?
I'm going to go out with a guy who's a piece of garbage who treats me like the piece of shit I am, you know?
It happens.
Why am I being ignored? I'm speaking on microphone. All right,
let's take a break. All right, we just did the Brian Bohr. Highway Diary continues with Dr. Daniel Caprio.
Oh, doctor.
Boy, your dad came up a lot tonight, too.
Yeah, that
What's
old
going on
that
between
old
you
anniversary.
And Richard Dweck.
I don't know. I mean, I think he was just in a train of thought, and that train got real derailed, and he tried to make something funny out of a situation. It's really he should really look into it a little harder. If you're gonna touch on a dark subject like that, I think you should know more about it.
Right, right.
Because I got back at him by saying something bad in passing about his dog. He's got an old dog, and I had no idea they were putting the dog down this week.
Oh.
No idea. I just found it scrolling this morning, and I'm like, wow, that's the thing I said was happening. And I felt a little bad about that.
There is weird.
But the thing is, it's one thing about losing a family member versus losing a dog that probably you should have lost half a decade ago.
Right, right.
Naturally, of course.
A white privileged little Yorkie. He had a good life, you know, versus a fuck.
It had a good several lives. Like, 17 for a dog? I don't understand that.
I've started to come into my consciousness that there's little beefs around. You know, I thought, you know, first of all, I really do like the New Jersey comedy scene. I was in the L.A. comedy scene, the New York comedy scene, the New Orleans comedy scene, the New Jersey comedy scene, you know, there's little, but now I'm starting to realize, like, there's little, like, oh, these people fucking hate each other. I didn't know Jack and Joe McAndrew had this hardcore hate for each other that, like, it got brought up. And, like, Joe's not even here, and Jack's talking, like, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that.
That seems to be how you find out. Just don't know, and then you just know.
Yeah, yeah.
Immediately one day.
Yeah, you're like, oh, wow.
I was involved with a beef I had no idea was even going on. I found out accidentally.
Who hates you?
We gotta name names.
Yeah, well, you could give me some initials or tell me a story. How'd you find out?
A.M.
Okay.
Dad owns a comedy club.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Keep going.
I don't like... I don't like seeing... Now, call me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're... very new in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how the Stress Factory, let's say. They have a 3-minute time limit there.
Right.
You perform there before at an open mic. And
many times.
You know how fast that light is.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine 18 minutes of vicious bombing and walking audience members and the energy being decimated from the room. Would you like that person? Just off the bat.
Right, right. So you're saying that everyone's given 3 minutes.
Yeah.
This person did 18.
Yes.
Right, right. Yeah.
I timed it.
That is annoying. There are some people... I hosted the Stress Factory twice. I don't think they'll ever have me back because I got annoyed. There's national headliners that come in.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, when they... Yeah, them... You know, yeah. I mean, don't do an like an hour long set. But if they end up doing 20 minutes,
I think it's terrible. If everyone's doing three, okay. So everyone's doing three, okay. And then B M does 22. That's really obnoxious.
I'm trying to think of what this is.
Really obnoxious.
Oh, I know now.
And then she brings a friend, and he does. 17.
I know that friend.
And then it's like, then AM comes up, she does 18 too. It's
yeah,
like,
oh yeah.
Okay, so now as a host...
That's an hour.
I'm you know what I mean? Of course. So it's like, I was trying to tell the manager, like, yo, we kind of got a cap. If someone like completely douches the mic, like these open micers, you know, some of the open mics, You have to pay a cover charge. You have to sign up online weeks in advance. Oh, yeah. You got to do all this stuff. Finally, you get your spot. Now it's back an hour. I mean, come on.
Right.
Come on. That's rude. So then now I have to kind of be a life coach for these open micers where I said, you're going next. I like, imagine me as a host. I go, you're up next. Then the person waits a fucking hour and they're like, what's going on? I'm like, let me get back to you and see if I can get a light after 10 minutes. Let me see if I can get a light after 15 minutes. Let me see if I can get a light after 20 minutes. And the manager's saying no. It's just like, come on, man. It's not fair.
Did that happen both times you hosted?
The second time and the final time I hosted.
Ah.
Where I was complaining too much. And then other people, then the, you know, whatever, whatever. So I just don't, I just like, I'm a big guy on fairness. Also, last night, I think I expressed my issue. This is not fair. This person comes in late. They douche the mic. They douche the list. I don't like that. I think it's like...
That my mic you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Who was that? Oh, now, yeah.
You know? And so I just don't like that. It's like, there's a process. If you show up early, you should get served first. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go to IHOP, you put your order first, your pancakes come out first.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, I'm waiting an hour because, you know, Dr. Pancake showed up? Fuck that piece of garbage. He should have showed up at the right time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just... This whole status thing is like, if you're a national headliner, that's cool. Mm-hmm. How about you headline a fucking show tonight if you have all this power? But you're going to use your power to douche an open mic by an hour? Fuck you. Mm. When all these people signed up, they paid. You didn't pay. Mm-hmm. You didn't show up on time. Mm-hmm. You didn't do nothing. You just use your power and very rudely go, I'm next.
And will not support the mic.
Right.
Will not watch.
Right.
Will not laugh.
So that now we're talking about a narcissist, right? So like narcissistic personality disorder is something that I am allergic to. Oh. Like, you know.
Well, that's a lot of that going on
in the comedy scene. Like, you know, what if like, you know, I struggle my whole life. I'm booked at the Comedy Cellar. Mm-hmm. You know, this is my first shot ever. Yeah. It's an 8 p.m. show. You know, there's a lineup. On the bill, it goes Jim Norton, Dave Attell, Eric Hollaback, Daniel Caprio. We're so excited. We're in the green room. Like, oh, my God, this legendary thing. Mm. Seinfeld walks in, does fucking 4.5 hours. It's like, no, fuck that piece of shit. He should have went to the fucking, you know what I mean? Mm. Oh, you're so powerful. You're so powerful. Why don't you headline, like rent a fucking theater on Broadway and ruin those people's fucking night? Don't ruin my night when this is my first... You know what I mean? It's just like, there's got to be a fairness. Like, when you... And also, there's something pathological about cutting the list where it's like, you know, you knew, like, even someone like Seinfeld, someone like anybody, you came up a certain way. Mm-hmm. You know how it is to be on the list. I'm booked on the list. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then to, like, just, like... pathologically, like, you have to be a sociopath to be like, I don't care about any of these people.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's...
And especially on, like, comedy shows. I mean, mics too, but comedy shows, they have a certain ebb and flow. You know, like, their people are put in those positions because of their energy levels or the, you know, like, their joke topics or their crowd work or, you know, like, a lot of times I get put up early in shows and I was wondering, I'm like, why? Because my energy level is high.
Yeah.
And they want, a lot of people want that in the beginning or the end.
Right, right.
So I understand why I'm the lineup there. When you put somebody, let's say, you know, I've seen this happen. You know, you put, let's say, a really big comedian, but he's low energy in the beginning. And, you know, that could set off the dynamic
right.
of the show. I'm not saying it ruined the show, but it definitely, you know, like, and that person will probably, you know, like, do too long.
Right, right.
You know?
But, I mean, I'm not also, like, super, like, let's say, for example, I was in New Orleans, right? Mm. And I always, like, showed up super early to this mic called Comic Strip at Siberia. And so I was always, like, I always went in the top three. And I went super early. So I did this every single fucking Monday the entire 3 years I lived in New Orleans.
When was this, by the way? Because I went to New Orleans a few years ago, and I didn't notice, like, a big comedy scene down there.
Yeah, this was 2014 to 2017.
I was there. New New Year's Eve, like 2013, like right before 2014. I guess it was right before
yeah,
you got
there.
Yeah,
it was August 2014 August 2017.
It was like months before that.
Right. So then one day at Comic Strip, you know, I'm signed up. I'm waiting to go second, you know. You know, there, Jamar Neighbors and Tiffany Haddish walk in. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. I'm actually kind of friends with Jamar Neighbors because I used to live in Los Angeles, and I just know him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back when he was an open micer, I used to know him, you know? Mm. And so then he shows up, and I go, hey, Jamar, you want my spot? You know? Like this. Mm-hmm. Like this. I'm not going to go, oh, you douche the mic. No, he's out of town. He doesn't know. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference when you know what the rules are from the mic, when you know when mm-hmm. to show up, when you know. Like, yeah. At Brighton Bar, this mic tonight, I didn't really know. I was like, it said 7:30 on the website, but then 8:30 on the flyer.
Yeah, update that.
You know what I mean? So it's like stuff like that. So Jamar walks in. He thinks the show, you know, he didn't know that the show had already started or whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. I go, here, take my spot. So instead of going second, I go 30th, but then now a guy who's way higher level than me owes me a favor, or I did something nice for him, you yeah. know? So it's like that. But like, yeah, like my example of like someone walking in and like douching the whole Comedy Cellar lineup because they're narcissists. It's like, fuck you, man. Get a call Etsy, get on the fucking list. You know what I mean? There's a way to do things where they're just fair. I'm just like so into like, be fair.
Yeah, and I don't like getting messages, you know, being like, hey man, can you sign me up? I'm running late. I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to do so many favors because I don't want to be a doormat, you know. But yeah. I will give it that they did say, you know, I will be late.
Right.
And can you not put me first, but put me in a position, you know, like, hey, sign me up ninth, you know?
Yeah.
And I will definitely be there then.
Right.
That's, you know what? I don't have a huge issue with that.
Right, right. Yeah. But at least they're
But don't do it all the time.
At least they're going, hey, like, you know, let's say your dad owns a club, you know, and you could call, but you don't. That's a problem.
You just show up an hour into it.
It's kind of rude, you know?
It happens all the time.
Yeah. So it's like, just be fair. Don't be rude. That's, I mean, because like for me, like if I get power later and then like this behavior late, it's like, you're not doing my shows. You know what I mean? It's like, you also got to think of things like, okay, you know, you might have little power here and there, but if you exploit your power, these are still the comics that you come up with are still your peers.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't douche your peers, because then if one of them blows up, now all of a sudden they have this bad impression of you for abusing your power.
Yeah. The only people I have major issues with, they're not comedians. They're just, a few of them were audience members, and I had to block one of them because he was creating such an issue. A couple comics wanted to fight this guy, and you know, he's just heckling, you know, he's just being a problem. I sit this guy down.
At George Street?
No, this was years ago. At a bunch of places around New Brunswick, and my mic that I was doing in Hamilton. And, you know, I talked to this guy for like 25 straight minutes, just like being like, hey, man, you know, like, I can't have this, especially it's something that's part of me.
Right.
You know, like, it's going to rub off, you know, I'm going to get a freaking reputation because of you.
Yeah.
You know, and in one ear, literally while I was talking to him out the other.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never run into the guy again. Good riddance to this person, you know? But that guy's out there. Like, it's, and I'm going to run into somebody like that again, you know? But you got to just, you got to know when to cut that off, you know? Because that's an example of a person that can give nothing to anyone in life.
Right.
Nothing. It's just all, it's relentless negativity.
Yeah, yeah.
With no accountability.
Yeah.
And that's a horrible combination.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also noticed that I met him through a comedian friend of mine. And then I started to notice all the other people that I met through that one comedian friend of mine. They're all bad in certain degrees.
Okay.
Cut that comedian off.
Yeah, yeah.
It's easier because he lives in New York City.
Right. So then,
and as far as I know, he doesn't do comedy. Which is the most ironic shit ever, because, like, you have the opportunity to do comedy five times as much as me.
Right.
You do nothing.
Right, right.
That shows where his heart's at.
And then you have this octopus friends of that are all pieces of garbage. It's like,
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, I spend time and over time, and you know,
yeah,
their nature just came through.
Were you raised in New Jersey?
Yes.
And then
born in Trenton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you were raised and
went to Catholic school? Probably. Okay. Well, the first like till second. Second or third, no, yeah, like second grade. Then I went to public school, and that that dynamic was off the wall. Oh God! Yeah. Well, the public schools were in like Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
and I really started to notice. You know, like I mean, I had made close friends in Catholic school, and then you know I spent like a year at each of these other schools, and like man, people the way they raise their kids. There's a level of cruelty that I didn't even know existed, you know, like, and I know kids, you know, kids can be asshole-ish, but this was like sociopathy, psychopathy at an early age. And it's not like the traits were already there.
Like the bullying.
Oh, cruelness.
Was outrageous.
Yes. Yeah. And it wasn't just me. Like yeah, I wasn't the only person being bullied in the school. There was people just. It was merciless.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I went back to Catholic school in high school, ninth grade, reunited with all those people from Catholic school.
Yeah.
But by that time, you know, like, the people I was friends with, I was able to, like, you know, rekindle that friendship. But there, yeah. You know, like, everybody who, like, kind of, like, bled into public school, man, it's like, it's kind of like the same thing there, mm-hmm. you know? And then I went to public school more for the rest of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it kind of sounds cliche, but, yeah, I just didn't like school.
Mm.
Mm-mm.
Where'd you go? Did you go to college?
Yeah, I got a degree in television production. And I had a radio show while I was in college, too.
From where?
I think that helped. Mercer County. And I'm not knocking that school. But I was glad to have that opportunity to do a radio show because it helped me enunciate how to have a cadence. And I loved the show itself that I did. And I eventually brought in a good friend of mine as a co-host, and eventually they made me the music director because they needed to clean. There was so, like, it was disorganized as hell in there.
Right.
And I like organizing things. So, right. I mean, like they just gave me, you know, like they were like, yeah, clean this place up. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like get rid of all these albums that we can't use.
I'm like, right, right.
I will. And I'll never forget I took a class in college, you know, like a public speaking class. That had the most impact on my life out of anything I've ever taken in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think about that teacher this day, Mr. Alvin Haywood, man. I really hope he's still teaching because I still think about him and his class had an impact on my stand up. That's how deep that went.
That's how you got into it?
No, I was at a Hooters one afternoon, and I was talking to one of the bartenders, and I had mentioned to her, I was working overnights at the time, and I had been writing jokes. I had always written throughout my life, mm-hmm. but I had started to write actual jokes at work because I was just fed up with a bunch of things. I'm like, all right, well, let me turn these into jokes. And I had told her, about, you know, like, I'm sitting on all these jokes, I'm just writing them. And she gave me this list of open mics to try them out at, and one of them was the Stress Factory.
Was one of them Hooters? Did they have an open mic at the Hooters?
No, I think they had karaoke. I think that was the only thing they were doing at the time. They had bikini contests, and well, which I, you know, wasn't going to sign up for.
Yeah.
I think I went to one, but and karaoke, which I can't stand.
Yeah.
And I think Scotty's was on there, and Catch a Rising Star was definitely on there. And I believe they had an open mic at that time. But I never forgot about the Stress Factor because I think she put that like first.
Yeah, yeah.
And I sat on it for a few years because I didn't have the thick enough skin. Yeah. I was too critical of myself. I didn't like taking criticism from other people at all.
Right.
And I just didn't know. I'm like, well, how is this going to work out? You know, like. And I didn't have five. I mean, I had 5 minutes of material, but I didn't have 5 minutes of workable material yet.
Yeah.
So I waited a few years, and I got a group of like seven friends together, and we all went out to the Stress Factory. My brother was there, and a couple of my close friends, and I think I went on like 25th or 26th. I was up there for like 6.5 minutes, and it was weird. It was, you know, it was like weird material in the beginning, and that was the only time I ever got the light and the music, and I never forgot that. I'm like, I never wanted to have that.
Right, you went over. You didn't know.
Yeah, I went over like two times. Yeah, but I mean, they let me keep going. I mean, I started off that strong to where they just like let it ride. Yeah, and I haven't stopped since then. It was May 8th, 2013. I mean, the longest break I take is like when I go visit my mom in California. But this year, I want to try and at least go to like one mic because I never stop writing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. Even when I don't do any sets, I never, never stop writing.
I just took 6 weeks off, but I had to move. And so it's like, you know, every day.
I go through withdrawal.
I worked, and then I had to look for apartments. So it's like, you know, when I'm looking for apartments, like, 3 days a week, it's like, yo, I felt like my home base, when my home base is kind of rattled, I don't feel like, you know. Yeah, so I that was the longest I took off in, I don't know, since I started was like this past 6 weeks. I like took basically October off because I had to find a fucking place to live. But now I live in Edison, which is perfect because a lot of things happen. Like New Brunswick is like kind of the center of Jersey comedy, you know?
Yeah, that's I call that a mecca sometimes.
Yeah, like the Stress Factory, you know, as much as we were knocking it earlier, like that is like the CIA of the Jersey comedy scene.
Oh yeah, I mean that's where I started. I've been on a bunch of shows there too.
Yeah,
you know, and not like, you know, oh, I opened for like, you know, big name guys, but a bunch of people on those shows I was on are touring comedians.
Right, right.
Which is cool.
Yeah,
which is,
yeah.
I like seeing that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great place. And so, and then it kind of attracts, like, all the best comics in Jersey. And so then, like, my whole friend network, like, absolutely came from the Stress Factory.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Brian St. John and fucking Tito.
Most of the people I'm still friends with, I've met directly through the Stress
Factory. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So there's like, a little shit talking here and there, but it's, you know, I can get over it. I'm also the kind of guy that, like, you know, if I have problems with people, like, I can really, like, talk to, like, you know, I'll talk to certain people in the next couple weeks, but,
I notice a lot of people, they hash their beefs and their problems out online. I'm totally against
that. Yeah, I would never do that.
I'm totally against passive-aggressive behavior and friggin', you know, like, backbiting online, like, putting out cryptic messages online.
Right,
I will talk face to face. I mean, I do
it
here too. I do it wherever it has to happen. It happens there, you know.
Yeah.
And that's not the norm. That's just people like arguing in comment sections, like DMs, like until like freaking 5 o'clock in the morning. It's like you're not talking about you're not talking to a girl you want to bang. It's like you're arguing with somebody. And it's just that is lost on me, the fact that people want to argue online, not only about, like, you know, beefs and comedy, about sports, about the same teams they like, they're arguing about it. I've seen people, friends of mine, to other friends, want to fist fight them at their houses. These are people with children. Because of some, not even really a bet, it's just like you have a disagreement on a goalie statistic, and you want to fight somebody over that. Like, what does it matter with you?
Yeah. It's like you're projecting.
This person doesn't owe you hundreds of dollars. They don't owe you shit.
Yeah, it's like that hockey player isn't even your life. Like,
no. Yeah, and that's the thing too. It's like, well, we. It's like, no, man, you're not on the team. You don't get it. You're not salaried, man.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
Yeah, you get nothing really. You know, like, and that's the thing too, man. When you when you're a hardcore gambler, do you really enjoy that much when you're losing? Like, you know, it's like, statistically, man, you know, you keep gambling, you are bound to lose more than you get.
That's so crazy that, like, you show up to the Boston Red Sox in a Yankees jersey, like,
you'll get killed.
You'll get beaten up. Yeah. And it's like, we're Americans.
Yeah,
like,
man.
That city is, like, fucking 5 miles, going to 5 hours down the road.
My friend, he wore a Devils jersey. This was during the playoffs. He was our ride to a concert in Philadelphia. This guy on South Street got out of his car to fist fight my friend because they're talking shit about each other because of jerseys.
Yeah.
Because of a sports rivalry. And I told my friend, I'm like, don't wear that jersey tonight. Somebody's going to have an issue with it.
Yeah.
We didn't even get in the building yet. And he's almost getting into a street
fight.
We're like, what the? And he's our ride.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
You're the designated driver. You can't get a concussion.
Literally. Yes. What the fuck?
The headlights are going to be freaking you out. You're going to be like, oh, it's too bright.
Oh, and I'd say they both were in the wrong in that case.
Yeah.
You know?
Unbelievable. Well, you know, it's tricky because also it's like, you know, there's so, when you're doing comedy, when you're doing open mics, there's so much fucking struggling. Like, every time I go to the Stress Factory, it's like, or, you know, I got to pay $7, I buy some drinks, I got to park, you know, this and that. Like, it's like, this is this much money, this is this. So much struggling. You know, I'm not getting paid for this, you know? And then, on top of that, to add, like, a beef or to be yelling at somebody for on Facebook for 5 hours, it's like, do you realize we're reached the mountain and there's nothing here? Mm-hmm. So what, like, it's like a pile of nothing. There's no prize. You know what I mean? Like, the level of struggle is just like, so instead of going like, how can I be successful at this? It's like to build these beefs up in your head is just very strange.
Yeah, I mean, I produced a show like a year into comedy. You know, like I started to think, you know, like, where do I want to take this, you know? Like,
yeah.
And I started to notice, you know, yeah, that's not the thing to do is not to argue. It's to create opportunity. Like, right. Not only for yourself, but for others. I have two open mics,
right,
that I produce. I've produced, you know, shows in the years. I haven't in a while, and I'm thinking I should, you know, do another paid show sometime in the near future.
Yeah,
and then eventually I want to go on a little package tour.
Right.
Like, that's like the next step. And then get, you know, enough road miles to, you know, cut an album. That's after that. So I'm like mapping out, like, you know, what I want to do with this. And I know, you know, like, if I'm like just, you know, coming across as an asshole or like a confrontational, and I mean confrontational as in, you know, like somebody who, like, people don't want to be around, you know what I mean? You know, because they're just going to create issues.
Right.
The people that I don't respect are people, like I said, they not only offer nothing comedically to people, they offer nothing to society in general. Like, they can't even help you fucking move a couch.
Right.
Versus, like, you know, be a decent audience member.
There's also, I'm not going to name names, but there's one mic in New Jersey where the guy, you know, he'll like heckle like the newer comics. Like,
is he a host or just somebody that goes
a like, host? You know,
oh really?
You know, maybe somewhere around Springfield, but like during the open mic, like,
oh, he'll, no, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, if you want to heckle and belittle the people at the start, like, they're in, like, I don't, like, I just got finished a rant where it's like, it's not helpful to build beefs in your head. It's not helpful to do any of this. But, however, having said that, I had a real problem in New Orleans with this one guy who I felt like got power boners from douching new open micers. Andrew Polk is his name. He's in Los Angeles now, scooping ice cream. Dude, when that guy ran the Hi-Ho open mic, he was such a cunt. Such a fucking cunt to new people where it's like, hey, this is my second time doing stand-up. Like, and he would just, like, fucking degrade them. He was just so fucking...
Not like, for the sake of
humor. He was like, I run the comedy show. I'm your comedy god. Anyway, here's the list. Literally word for word what he said. And it's like,
sounds this like a pyramid scheme.
Such a problem. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there, you know, you run George Street Co-op every other Sunday. I love that place. But you're very uplifting. It is supportive. It's like, hey, let's all try to do this. Let's workshop our material. Let's,
and
like,
I encourage people to do new material.
Yeah,
like, that's the thing. You know, a lot of it's weird to not really hear, you know, people be like, oh man, come on, do something new, man. You know, if somebody's just like thinking of something to do, like on stage, I'm like, oh, do something new, man.
Yeah.
And I give more time than normal.
Right.
Yeah, like, I mean, just this week, you know, I'm like, I can do it. Let me do it because people appreciate it.
Right.
Make it worth their while. I know some people that come out of their way. And me, I mean, like where we are now, it's an hour away from where I live.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I want to make the most of it.
Where do you live?
I live in Hamilton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like literally like exactly an hour from here.
Yeah, like...
And that's the thing, too. When I'm here, like, I'm here, like, for basically the whole mic. Now, if I have to leave, I gotta leave.
Yeah.
But I normally, and not just this one, but most of the mics I go to, I stay and support them.
Yeah.
You know? And people notice that, too.
Right.
Yeah, that's, you know, when people ask me to put me on shows, I know partly it's because, you know, they're like... this guy stays, you know, this
right,
guy,
right.
this he guy, you know, and room. This guy doesn't cause an issue ever,
right, right,
you know?
Right. He does his time. He gets off when the light is. He doesn't try to bump the mic. He doesn't heckle. Nope. He stays in the room and supports and claps and laughs.
Yeah. And if I say something, people can work with it. You know, right, it's not just like I'm yelling for the sake of yelling.
Well, I mean, in this room and your room, it's like people will call out by name, and it's kind of unusual. I haven't really experienced a scene like this where they'll mm-hmm. be like, hey, Liam, what do you think of that? Like, people call your name and then ask you
yeah,
to ask for...
Yeah, it can get interactive.
Yeah, very
but,
much so.
But interactive to where, you know, like, sometimes you can piggyback off an idea and remember a bit. This is happening so many times
yeah.
where I'm like, I remember that joke now because somebody mentioned it. Somebody yells out right, a topic. They're like, aliens. I'm like, man, there we go. I totally forgot about these new alien jokes I've been writing. Yeah. So sometimes it really helps.
Like tonight, you would talk to Richard, then you would do your set, then you would talk to Richard, do your set. That's kind of how
talk
it went.
Talk to Gary.
Yeah. Cool, bud. Well, Daniel Caprio, you're one of the good ones out here. You're helping out the scene. You're putting mics together. I appreciate
planning for
this.
The future.
That's been another episode. This is episode 232 of Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. Thanks to my guest, Daniel Caprio.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right. Take care. Thank you.